alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars.
ABC News, I'm Tom Rivers. At least 20 people believed killed, dozens hurt in a shooting in Lewiston, Maine. Person of interest still at large, identified as 40-year-old Robert Card, a firearms instructor with mental health issues. ABC News contributor Robert Frankel, a former FBI special agent.
You now have law enforcement not only from Lewiston and Lisbon, Maine, but you have the state police, you have the federal officials, and now you have also New Hampshire police officers who are manning checkpoints at the border between Maine and New Hampshire because they really don't know where he is at this time.
The shootings at a restaurant and a bowling alley. Zoe Hutchinson was there with her mother, who says her daughter was grazed in the leg.
I never thought I'd grow up and get a bullet in my leg, and it's just like, why? Like, why do people do this?
This is ABC News. The former president's civil fraud trial continues in New York. Donald Trump fined $10,000 Wednesday. Details from ABC News senior investigative reporter Aaron Katursky.
Judge Arthur Engoron abruptly summoned the former president to the witness stand, where he was sworn in and slapped with a fine and a warning. The judge had heard about what Trump said in the hallway minutes earlier.
This judge is a very partisan judge, with a person who's very partisan sitting alongside him.
Judge Engoron wanted to know if the person who sits alongside him was his law clerk. Trump had targeted the clerk before and had been warned not to do it again, and previously imposed a limited gag order preventing Trump from disparaging court personnel.
Trump then leaving court suddenly after the judge rejected his lawyer's request to throw out the entire case. The extent of the damage in Acapulco and other areas of Mexico's Pacific coast is still not clear after Hurricane Otis powered through as a Category 5 hurricane. Acapulco is still mostly inaccessible. I'm Tom Rivers, ABC News.
Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show. On the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
Groody's doing D.C., baby. The rest of the week I'll be there. You know, I got some big guests lined up.
And you'll have to tune in for those very special guests live from Washington, D.C. this Wednesday and Thursday. Catch the broadcast starting at 4.
Road trip! With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
While there are many unexpected factors that can affect the next growing season, farmers have grown to expect the expected with Rank Seed. Our consistent top-end yields come from strict quality control, trusted technology, and local dealers invested in your success. Rank Seed has been a family-owned and operated business since 1846. More than 175 years later, we still have the highest performing genetics on the market in all environments. Expect the expected with Rank Seed.
Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Efforts to pay for upkeep at American Family Field and keep the Brewers in Milwaukee for an extra 20 years took another step Wednesday. A state Senate committee took testimony on a bill that spends $546 million in public money. The deal passed the assembly last week. Republican Dewey Strobel chairs the committee. He hopes to have enough votes to pass it in time for the Senate to pass it in November. Another school in the Universities of Wisconsin system is cutting jobs. The UW-Platteville campus announced Tuesday they will eliminate over 100 positions on the campus. The school is facing an over $9 million structural deficit. About 60 people are going to be laid off, while officials plan to cut 31 open positions on the campus. The campus joins UW-Oshkosh in laying off workers amid budget cuts. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Packers getting ready for Minnesota. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers host the Vikings Sunday at noon, but they'll be missing some key players. Safety Darnell Savage placed on IR with a calf injury. Eric Stokes back on injured reserve after pulling a hamstring Sunday in Denver. It was his first game back in nearly a year.
Man, just, I can't believe it. Like, I done worked 11 and a half months just to get back to where I was at. I can't believe any of this. Like, I just have no words.
NBA, the Bucks host the 76ers tonight for the season opener. James Harden finally showed up to practice in Philly, but will not be playing in the game in Milwaukee. Meanwhile, Giannis celebrates his 11th season with the Bucks and was asked what it all means.
The Milwaukee Bucks organization, they've been there with me since the beginning. They changed my life. They changed my family life. My kids were born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. You know, my mom is here enjoying her life. My dad spent a couple of years here before he passed away. And for that, I can't turn my back.
That's the Bucks' Giannis Antetokounmpo. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy today with isolated thunderstorms likely. High of 59. Winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy again tonight. Isolated rain showers likely. 41. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 54.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Thursday, October 26th. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. Maybe you're listening on the radio, maybe over the app, maybe through social media, maybe later on as a podcast. However you got here, it's nice to have you here. We'll unpack the news in just a little bit. From our home base here at 93.5 The Tap in Chippewa Falls, here's what's on tap this morning. We're going to review how the far-right fringe of House Republicans was finally able to win the Speaker's chair, even without the help of Derek Van Orden, who is still puzzling many by being out of the country instead of doing his job in Washington, D.C. Joe Zepecki not only talks about the political news of the week, but he makes some bold sports predictions on this opening day of the Milwaukee Bucks season as well. So that's coming up this hour. Also, we'll have today's history lesson and music break. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will join us for that, and then stick around in our second hour for her hometown health segment. Her guest is a fellow obstetrician gynecologist who talks about the challenges of attracting physicians, medical students, other providers to her home state of South Dakota, a state that, like Wisconsin, is seeing its rural healthcare challenges made even worse by politicians who want to get between rural residents and their doctors and their healthcare. We'll have the weatherology forecast from meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki from Weatherology, and we'll visit with Luke Mathers as well. To be a part of it all along the way, if you'd like to share some comments or questions by phone, the phone line is 844-967-2789. Be not afraid of the early hour. You don't hear a lot of calls in the early hours because people are still wiping the sleep from their eyes. But if you've got something to say, the phone line is here and it's open up for you. The email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. If you're watching a live video feed of this radio show on Facebook, put a comment right there on the Facebook feed. We'll see it and maybe pop that up as well. Temperatures around the state at 6 a.m. look like this here on Lake Wissota. It is 57 degrees. Madison, you're at 63. Waukesha, 61. La Crosse is 61. Wausau, meanwhile, is at 51 degrees. Wisconsin Rapids, 54. Green Bay, 53. And Hayward, 48 degrees right now. And again, a full detailed forecast is never far away here across the Civic Media Radio Network. Before we talk more about what Up North News is covering today, let's first say a good morning to Sam Davison down at the Civic Media Control Center down there in beautiful Madison. Mr. Davison, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm guessing pretty much every weather station I was looking at just now said either rain and fog or mist and fog. You probably have something similar to that there.
Yeah, it's raining a little bit, not too hard.
Mm-hmm. Nothing like around, say, Black River Falls. I don't know if you saw any of that video, but
no.
The Black River is way, way up there because some places got anywhere from 4 to 6 inches of rain the day before yesterday.
Wow.
And so the river flooded in a hurry.
Mm.
And so hopefully everybody takes care out there because they got more than their fair share, which is especially odd, you know, given what a terribly dry year that it has been. Did you happen to see the video of the deer busting into the Noodles and Company restaurant in Beloit?
No, I didn't. I didn't hear about this.
It was one of those, you know, things that has been going around on social media of security camera video that showed that a deer had come charging through, crashes through the front door, and then just runs right down the center of the restaurant and then out of the camera frame. And there's not, I don't have a lot of other details about it, but it's not the kind of thing I would have necessarily expected to see.
What time did this happen? Was it during business
lunchtime.
Hours?
Lunchtime.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. Yep. It was crowded. Suddenly you start to see diners, you know, scattering this way and that way. And then when you look in the center of the frame, you see that this deer had crashed through the window of the front door and was, you know, struggling kind of in that vestibule area, and then comes around and goes right down, and up an employee was smart enough to open up the door in the back. So it's kind of like Chevy Chase opening the door for the squirrel to run out in Christmas Vacation. So nobody was harmed. News reports say that the location closed for a bit just to give it a deep cleaning, and then they reopened again. And the restaurant offered a $2 mac and cheese special on Wednesday to commemorate the incident. If they were smart, they would have found a venison supplier real quick and made it venison mac and cheese.
Ooh.
And said, "Yeah, we taught that guy
That'd
a
be
lesson."
Tasty.
Yeah, so you don't get something like that happening too terribly often. So, yeah, so you just got to be careful where you go to lunch. I mean,
yeah, you'd never know when a deer is going to come crashing through the place.
Well, not even just that it's Beloit, but that it's a Noodles and Company. You would have thought maybe it would, you know, pick something else. But who can say what a deer tastes?
He was craving mac and cheese.
Apparently so. Bucky's got to have the noodles, you know. The speaking of Bucks, as mentioned before, the Bucks open up their 2023-24 campaign. They do it at home. They will be playing the Philadelphia 76ers 6:30 tonight. That game will be on TNT. The Bucks actually open up the season with a 3-game homestand. So they're home tonight against Philadelphia. They play at home again on Sunday against Atlanta, Monday against Miami, and then they hit the road for one game next week up in Toronto. And Joe Zepecki, as I mentioned, will have more to say about his expectation for the Bucs season, because I threw a little something at him, based on something that he said a week or two ago, and I wanted to ask if he has changed his predictions at all on the Bucs. Craig Counsell, the Brewers manager, has received permission to interview with the New York Mets. It was something that was widely expected after the Brewers' previous president of baseball operations moved over to Flushing, Queens. And so now people are speculating whether Counsell will go there or not. Again, you have to hear Joe's prediction about that. Here's the easy prediction to make, again, based on other news reports. Whichever way Craig Counsell goes, whether he stays or goes, he's basically probably going to double his salary, which is currently at $3.5 million a year. And so either way, he's going to, you know, lift the market for all baseball managers, or at least all the good ones. How long that'll take, we don't know. Counsell becomes a free agent officially next week sometime, and then the Brewers will have an opportunity, if they wish, to, you know, try to match or exceed anything that he might be offered. I saw a report that Mason Crosby, you know, he did not retire after all those many years with the Green Bay Packers. He was simply, but he wasn't ready to quit, and he still isn't ready to quit. And news reports show that he recently got a workout with the LA Rams. so we might be seeing Mason Crosby back on the NFL fields sometime soon. Badger Sports will have a lot more to say tomorrow getting into the weekend, but for the men's hockey team, they're back in action tonight. After getting some good news, last week they were at Michigan Tech and swept the then 17th-ranked Michigan Tech team on last weekend. And that got the men's hockey team off to their best start since 2004. And so for the first time in a couple of years now, the Badgers are back in the top 20 in rankings. They are now the 14th-ranked team in the nation. And they now open up Big Ten play starting tonight in the Twin Cities against the University of Minnesota Golden Gophers. So we've got Badger hockey season well underway. The women's hockey team is already ranked number one in the country. And now the men's hockey team is trying to show that they belong back on the map as well. All right, let's talk about the vote for speaker real quick and who Mike Johnson is. But before we do, ask ourselves again why Derek Van Orden was the only Republican not there to vote. Mike Johnson somehow cobbled the Republican caucus together, winning all of their votes. There were no holdouts. There were no factions. Basically, the entire Republican caucus threw up their hands and said, fine, we're done with this. Mike Johnson can have it. Except for Derek Van Orden, who you'll recall abruptly left the country a few days back saying that he was going to Israel. His exact quote was, I am uniquely qualified to objectively ascertain the ground truth and bring that information back to Congress. Really? Really? You. I mean, look, yes, you're a retired Navy SEAL and medic. That alone does not make you uniquely qualified. Nor does your military experience added with your congressional experience, which, by the way, is only 9 months long. So there is nothing that makes Derek Van Orden uniquely qualified to objectively ascertain the ground truth in the Middle East. But there he is. He missed multiple votes among his fellow Republicans for speaker, which forced them to make sure that they altered the math accordingly, because every vote counts when you only have a 4-seat margin. But Derek Van Orden, literally AWOL, absent without leave, from his duties to his 3rd District constituents and to his fellow Republicans. So in comes Mike Johnson, whom we hadn't heard of previously. He's a Republican from Louisiana. And not just any Republican. This is somebody who, how best to describe him? Look, if you consider yourself a Republican, a moderate Republican, his election yesterday cemented the fact that whether you want to hear this or not, you, Mr. or Ms. Moderate Republican, you are politically homeless right now. Your party has been taken up by the far right. People call it by different names, Christian nationalist, Christian supremacist, whatever the case may be. People who are more than happy to first cry out against what they think is indoctrination so that they can win elections, get power, and then proceed to indoctrinate others, force their beliefs on others through the medical examining room, through schools, through all facets of life. And that's what Mike Johnson stands for. This is somebody who took his oath of office with a straight face to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic, I hasten to add. And yet this is somebody who led the charge after the 2020 election to advance the big lie and try to get an American election overturned and handed to Donald Trump. And when confronted about that, he and fellow Republicans laughed out loud about this. Let's take a break here and talk more about it, what Mike Johnson stands for and what this means for Congress now that they can continue doing, I guess, nothing. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Thursday morning, when you're here, you're up north, and we'll be back in 60 seconds.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
and a defense that just
down he goes.
Won't
intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday. It's a massive matchup in Madison against Ohio State. Our coverage begins at 4:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
WRJN 1400 AM, 99.9 FM Racine, and 98.1 FM Kenosha.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
In today's history lesson and music break, we'll tell you a little later why you're hearing the Spinners. It wasn't this particular song that made history, but it's a favorite Spinner song of mine, so thought we'd play it here at about 6:20 on a Thursday morning here across Wisconsin on Up North News Radio. Hey, the Up North News daily newsletter can be yours by subscribing at upnorthnewswi.com. Click newsletter in the top banner of our homepage, and you can get on board there. You, of course, can find Up North News on social media in so many places around the interwebs. And among the stories that Sherita Booker's been putting up for us, some video. It's Halloween time, so you got to see elephants smashing pumpkins. You've got that over at the Milwaukee County Zoo that's happening. You will see video of the Black River at flood stage that Sam and I were talking about just a little bit ago. We'll talk about National Library Month and maybe some libraries you'd like to check out. See what I did there? Around Wisconsin. And one note that's up on social media that I'll go ahead and share with you now. It was heartbreaking to have the Badger women lose as they did at Nebraska last weekend. But to just show how popular things are getting for women's collegiate volleyball, the viewership on that match was 612,000 viewers. That's the most watched regular season volleyball match across any network ever. And it's something that more people are watching and getting excited about. You hear Terry Bell talk about it with us every Monday. I enjoyed watching some of the Nebraska match myself last weekend. And so congrats to the Badger women who continue just building on the successes and popularity of the women's volleyball program. Quick note here that the United Auto Workers Union said Wednesday it has reached a tentative contract agreement with Ford. That could be a breakthrough toward ending the nearly six-week-old strikes against the automakers. The four-year deal still has to be approved by about 57,000 union members, but it could bring to a close a series of strikes targeted at Ford, General Motors, and Stellantis, which makes Jeeps. The Ford deal could set the pattern for agreements with the other two automakers where workers will remain on strike. The UAW called on all the workers at Ford to return to their jobs, and they believe that will put pressure on GM and Stellantis to come back to the bargaining table. So back to our vote for Speaker and Mike Johnson. We've already talked about his willingness to lead the charge to try to overturn an American election. Specifically, he was the biggest cheerleader of a long-shot lawsuit attempted by the Texas Attorney General that was asking the U.S. Supreme Court to invalidate the election results in other states, including Wisconsin. I think it was Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and I want to say Arizona, but I'm not sure, but one other. So this was Texas asking the U.S. Supreme Court to invalidate the election results from other states, based in nothing, by the way, based in nothing but made up conspiracies and rumors. Now, it was laughed out of court. But the fact that anybody in elected office would sign on a friendly brief to that suit is disqualifying. And one representative from Wisconsin signed on, and that was Tom Tiffany. Tom Tiffany, the congressman from up north, signed that friend of the court brief essentially saying that even though he thinks he was elected fair and square on that November day in 2020, that his constituents' votes should be thrown out because of we don't even know what. But in order to protect Donald Trump, that has always made Tom Tiffany unqualified to represent Congress. And we now know Mike Johnson was the one leading the charge on that. So I watched his acceptance speech, if you will, after getting the speaker's gavel. And after some perfunctory remarks about, you know, I want to work with Democrats. Well, that lasted about 7 seconds. He then turned to identifying his enemies. First was the old Soviet Union. He called it inspiration for the adoption of the In God We Trust motto in the 1950s. Second enemy, immigrants, which is not accurate in terms of America's enemies, but it's on brand for him and the party. Third was inflation, which he blamed on federal spending, which is also not accurate and shows a fundamental misunderstanding of the difference between government and markets. Interestingly, after talking down federal spending, he promised to create a bipartisan debt commission. But he didn't mention that a big part of the debt problem is the more than $2 trillion in tax cuts geared toward the wealthy that Republicans passed in 2017. And so I add, in terms of firm red lines that no Democrat is going to cross when it comes to the budget, if you're not willing to give up a penny of tax cuts for millionaires and billionaires, don't talk to us about cutting funding for the farm bill and nutritional assistance programs and schools and everything else. You don't get to talk about that until we talk about how you have driven up the debt through those tax cuts. His next promise was an aid bill for Israel. Interestingly, no mention of Ukraine, which is odd because it's under attack by Vladimir Putin, who is trying to recreate the Soviet Union. But apparently Mr. Johnson can't connect those dots. I liked how he concluded with a note that after, you know, 3 weeks of drama, the House was returning to our duty stations. I had to wonder if he was taking a shot at Derek Van Orden for being absent from his duty station. And then he said the House is back in business. And in a way, it is. It's back to the business of doing nothing. And that was always the expectation, wasn't it, for the House when Republicans took over? That they were not interested in actually governing with Senate Democrats and a Democratic president, finding ways to compromise and get things done. They were always going to do nothing. It's just that in the past 3 weeks, they found a way to do less than nothing. So being back to doing nothing is actually an improvement. Look, if their first order of business is a bill for Israel aid only, nothing's going to get done. If their next order of business is to address a looming government shutdown by sticking to a call for massive cuts in programs and not clawing back on any of the massive tax cuts, again, nothing will get done. The only question is what role Derek Van Orden will play in all of this, especially now that some of his fellow Republicans are proposing to cut $50 billion from the next farm bill for popular conservation programs that farmers are using to keep their land and water healthy. And we'll talk more about that in about an hour or so, right before we have Hometown Health with Kristen Lyerly. We noted as well, and this from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and Kelly Meyerhofer, that UW-Platteville is eliminating 111 positions. That's 12% of its workforce. The second school in the state public university system to significantly downsize to reduce budget deficits. Again, direct attacks from Republicans in the Wisconsin legislature, and it's working. One final note, Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has joined forces with a coalition of 42 attorneys general nationwide. They are taking legal action against Meta, the parent company of Facebook, Instagram, and Threads, saying the company knowingly introduced harmful features on social media platforms that created addiction for children and teenagers, something we'll monitor and tell you more about in the future. Take a break here. Our friend Joe Sopecki is up next, and you're up north.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Tom Rivers. At least 20 people believed killed, dozens hurt in a shooting in Lewiston, Maine. Person of interest still at large, identified as 40-year-old Robert Card, a firearms instructor with mental health issues. ABC News contributor Robert Frankel, a former FBI special agent.
You now have law enforcement not only from Lewiston and Lisbon, Maine, but you have the state police, you have the federal officials, and now you have also New Hampshire police officers who are manning checkpoints at the border between Maine and New Hampshire because they really don't know where he is at this time.
The shootings at a restaurant and a bowling alley. Zoe Hutchinson was there with her mother, who says her daughter was grazed in the leg.
I never thought I'd grow up and get a bullet in my leg, and it's just like, why? Like, why do people do this?
A tentative deal between the United Auto Workers and the Ford Motor Company. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. State wildlife officials unanimously approved a new wolf management plan for Wisconsin on Wednesday. The new plan does not include specific population goals for the entire state. Instead, the plan recommends a population of around 1,000 animals, but allows for more flexibility in certain areas of the state. While conservation groups applauded the new plan, farmers and hunters worry that the plan will allow too many wolves to prey on livestock and deer in northern Wisconsin. There's a new member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Governor Evers is tapping longtime Eau Claire City employee Carrie Ripel. She served in the city clerk and human resources offices since 2011. Ripel says she'll be able to provide an expert's opinion in the role. She'll keep her job in Eau Claire while making regular trips to Madison. Her appointment is subject to state Senate approval. I'm Nate Wuggehout. This is Civic Media News.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy today with isolated thunderstorms likely. High of 59. Winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy again tonight. Isolated rain showers likely. 41. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK 1260 AM. Right now 55.
Disabled or an elderly Medicare beneficiary with questions about Part D prescription benefits? The Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline is here for you. Ask about saving money on your Part D premium, deductible, and copays. Call the Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline anytime. 1-800-926-4862. 1-800-926-4862. Medicare's annual open enrollment runs October 15th through December 7th.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Disabled or an elderly Medicare beneficiary with questions about Part D prescription benefits? The Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline is here for you. Ask about saving money on your Part D premium, deductible, and copays. Call the Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline anytime. 1-800-926-4862. 1-800-926-4862. Medicare's annual open enrollment runs October 15th through December 7th.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown
on radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Back now on a Thursday morning, as always, with Joe Sopecki. And we're going to cover news, of course. But, you know, we left off with him fairly recently talking about the Milwaukee Bucks. And we're actually going to start with the Bucks as well, just because we've already hit some heavy political stuff. And we're going to go back there. But indulge us on this opening day of the NBA season. Joe, good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. And again, typical caveat, I don't follow the Bucks closely, but I did ask you about Damian Lillard coming in and Drew Holiday going out, and everybody else was super excited. You were kind of on the fence because Drew Holiday's defense is so good. Is that going to open up a hole? So The only other big time Bucks fan that we ever have on the show is Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area. So I might have invoked your name and said, are there real concerns or is this the real deal? And he gave all the reasons why this is the real deal. So now I come back to you to say, again, on this opening day of the season, have you changed your mind at all on your skepticism about what the Bucks' chances are going to look like after this trade?
No, I haven't. I'm still skeptical. 82 games is a long season. Check back with me 25 to 30 games in. Listen, the fact that you have Lopez and Giannis back there means your perimeter defense doesn't have to be exemplary. Those big guys inside can cover up some mistakes. But the fact that Holiday is now a member of the Boston Celtics is why I remain so skeptical. Is one thing when he was going to be playing out in the Western Conference and the only way we'd ever see him was going to be in the NBA Finals. Now to have to go through him to just get to the finals, I'm skeptical. We'll see. Maybe this Bucks team, maybe playing for a contender, will turn Lillard's defensive game around, but we got to watch some hoops to find out.
So would you say, and then I'll get off the sports talk here, but would you say that while I've been saying about the Packers especially, let's not get all worked up. It's just a time of transition. I also didn't get worked up about the Brewers. They're good, but the expectations weren't sky high, but just high. But you strike me as somebody that is setting the bar. You've mentioned the finals a couple of times.
Oh, yeah.
That's where your bar is this year.
Yes, it has to be. With Giannis now entering like the core prime years of his career, with the amount of money this franchise spent to bring back pieces they've deemed important, with the big splashy move, it's got to be finals or bust, baby.
Okay. So there you go.
Bold Bucks and six.
To get to Bucks and six, we got to get there. All right, let's get back to the business of the day. I spoke earlier about Louisiana's Mike Johnson taking over as Speaker of the House, how basically I think this is going to revert to the mean. You know, we already had low expectations for the House of Representatives this year. And so they went from nothing to doing less than nothing. And now they've improved, I think, by going back to doing nothing. Or tell me you're seeing anything in the tea leaves that we're not, racing headlong toward a government shutdown in a few days here with this guy.
Well, I don't know everything, but I know a few things. And I know that Johnson in 23, because that's how many days it took for them to name a speaker, doesn't roll off the tongue like Bucks and six. Okay, I know that.
No.
I also know that the feeling of a lot of Democrats on Capitol Hill is that Mr. Johnson is just Jim Jordan with a jacket. That he is okay. That type of far right MAGA conservative.
Oh, yes.
And that is the feeling that his Democratic colleagues have. I also know that the best take of the day belongs to a member of the Pod Save America team who said, congratulations, Republicans. You found a speaker with the economic policies of Paul Ryan, tax cuts for the wealthy, cuts to Medicare, with the social values of Mike Pence, no to gay marriage, federal ban on abortion, and the election denialism of Donald Trump, because Mr. Johnson was the leader in the House of the effort to use the voting machine conspiracy theory to try to litigate in court and overturn the 2020 election. So you really hit a trifecta with this gentleman. He's only been in Congress for like 6 years. And I understand that there are a lot of Americans who think that's great. Part of the problem is people who have been there too long. I totally understand that. There are certain roles where it's really important to have years of relationships built up with folks, real understanding and insight into how the institution works. Speaker of the House is one of those roles. I think we should have very low expectations for Mr. Johnson, and they should have been low to begin with. They were low under McCarthy because of the fact that in divided government, there is almost no incentive to work together heading into an election year. Joe Biden has notched big bipartisan victories. He did that early on, which is when you need to do it. They weren't going to let him have any others going forward, with the possible exception of an aid package on Ukraine, now Israel. Maybe you'll still see some of that. I certainly hope so. We need to, as a country, defend freedom and liberty and be sort of that, you know, that bulwark against, you know, creeping authoritarianism from Russia or terrorism from Hamas. I hope we can get that done, but that's not going to be one of those, you know, big token bipartisan accomplishments that, you know, you see TV ads about next year.
I've mentioned that in closing his remarks, Johnson had said it was time for us to be once again reporting to our duty stations. And I wondered if that wasn't just a shot at Derek Van Orden for literally being AWOL.
The only Republican in Congress who couldn't show up to work today.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you got to decide, are you working for the constituents of the 3rd Congressional District, or, you know, are you working for folks in another country? And that appears to be where the priorities are setting. But now we have to ask the actual journalistic question. Will this all be forgotten next year, or has he committed a huge unforced error that is going to come back to bite him next year?
I think two things can be true at the same time. And this is one of those where I might have to stretch a little bit to explain it, but I can, and here's how. I'm not sure that independent voter, that swing voter who maybe voted for Ron Kind for a number of years but decided to take a chance on Van Orden because they wanted to just give somebody else a try. And, you know, if you like Brad, well, Brad's in the state Senate, right? To that voter, I'm not sure missing this vote makes a big difference in whether they stick with him next time or vote for more change. But I do think it's worth remembering that now that we have a new speaker who has no experience raising the kind of money that the highest ranking members of Congress in leadership offices typically have to raise, right? We've seen the stories. Nancy Pelosi goes around the country and raises $100 million that she then provides to Democrats who are running races. Kevin McCarthy goes and raises $150 billion, million dollars and hands that out to Republicans all over the place. The new Speaker of the House is untested when it comes to fundraising. I think what the expectation should be, he is not going to have the same amount of success as his predecessors. And that means there's not going to be as many races, as many districts, and as many members of Congress that get a share of that money that leadership raises. So if Derek Van Orden finds himself in a dogfight come September 1st or October 1st the next year, and the money isn't coming from his fellow Republicans, this could be one of the moments that is the answer to why. It's because he can't be counted on by his own Republican colleagues.
And by the way, Donald Trump has never done any Republicans favors in the fundraising area. You know, as a grifter, the money goes to him. He continues to rack up legal bills. He continues to bleed lawyers, in part because he doesn't pay them. So it's not as if Johnson and Van Orden think that, you know, Trump is somehow going to be helpful on here. In fact, you know, he may be the albatross around their necks, depending on how these legal cases go.
And he's lighter in the wallet today. If you missed it late yesterday, Wednesday afternoon, Trump was fined $10,000 by the judge in the New York civil case investigating the fraudulent organization that was known as the Trump Org. Mr. Trump had to take the stand and had to testify and was reprimanded by the judge, ordered to pay $10,000. And apparently the former president threw a little temper tantrum, stormed out of the courtroom with Secret Service agents literally having to race to catch up to him because they didn't know he was going to do that. So a little lighter in the wallet, a little redder face, more veins bulging out of the neck. Not a great day for Donald Trump.
And you can't, you're not, even if he was predisposed to help other Republicans, and he's not, can't do that when you're busy fending off, you know, spending
91 indictments.
Yeah. He's got a lot going on right now. Hey, let's take our remaining time here and talk about something that you also work on quite a bit. And that's the group Protect Our Care, because we're getting to, we've talked about on the calendar, there's the NBA season starting. There's, you know, of course, there's fall brings football season, but this time of year also brings open enrollment. What does
for
that
Medicare.
Mean? What does that mean for Medicare recipients? What kind of homework should they be doing?
Between October 15th and December 7th of every year is open enrollment period for Medicare. So if you are newly eligible or about to be eligible, listen, you're going to know about it. You're going to get a lot of pieces of mail coming to your house, getting you to sign up. Supplemental plans can change this time of year. It is really important to sign up on time, though. If you don't, we've actually heard stories, in fact, heard one this afternoon, that if you sign up late to the game, you can get hit with a little surcharge for quite some time. It's like $12 a month. That's not a ton of money, but it adds up if you have to pay that late joiner surcharge. So talk to your local chapter of AARP, talk to your medical, your primary physician. If you don't know how to sign up for Medicare and you are about to turn 65, now is the time to do it.